of the church board. It's Article 7. And as soon as somebody finds a page number, they can tell me what it is. Article 7, Government Duties of Church Board. Page 12. Page 12, number 6. Okay, the church board shall appoint a nominating committee for the office of deacon. The pastor shall be the chairman of the nominating committee. Rich Lindberg brought this up at the town hall meeting. After talking about him afterwards, he strongly suggests that we put in no current sitting deacons shall serve on the committee. And he said some people talked to him afterwards. And so he thought that was worth putting in. And if you want to change it, you can change it at this meeting. But he thought that that it should go in there. So the way the new bylaw would read is the church board shall appoint a nominating committee for the office of deacon. No current sitting deacon shall serve on the committee. The pastor shall be the chairman of the nominating committee. So since we really didn't vote on that or anything like that, is there any discussion on that? You want to leave that, Sharon? No, we did not specify that. We just said no sitting deacon. Okay. And in reality, it gets approved by the deacon board before the annual meeting anyway. So, all right, let's go to the next slide there. Article 7, Government. Section 2, Officers. C, Duties of Officers. This was one that we overlooked, actually. We didn't bring this one up at the town hall meeting. The treasurer, so number 3, treasurer. Got a page on that? I think it's right down just a... Okay, 13. Okay, number A there. The treasurer shall be entrusted with the finances of the assembly, subject to the supervision of the church board, and shall deposit all funds as a prudent investor would under the circumstances. And then strike that last line. All checks issued on behalf of the church must be signed by the treasurer and one additional officer authorized by the church board. We just thought it would be kind of hard to get a couple signatures for every check that needed to be written out. So, strike that last line. And I would allow discussion on that too, since this is brand new to you. We did not discuss this at the town hall meeting at all. Does everybody know where we're at? I don't want any confusion. You okay? Yeah, it's top of page 14 there. All checks have to be signed by the treasurer. That's a no-brainer, of course, but we're just talking about that second part there. Okay. We have other people that can sign. I believe Nancy James is on there, and maybe Della. Okay. So all checks issued on behalf of the church must be signed by the treasurer or an authorized... All right. Does that sound, Dave? Yeah, that is what we have going on. In the treasurer's absence, a couple designated people are able to sign. Here's my concern with that, is if checks somehow start getting signed and the treasurer's not aware of it, you could have all kinds of problems. Yes, James. Anybody want? To what? Take the whole thing out? Al? Okay, all checks issued on behalf of the church must be signed by the church treasurer. Okay, so would that work? All checks issued on behalf of the church must be signed by the treasurer, and in his or her absence, one additional officer authorized by the church board. All right, everybody kind of agree like that? I mean, I don't think we need to vote on it, but what's the consensus? What can you take out one? It's just saying one additional officer, not two or whatever. That's the way I look at it. We could just say you know, it's probably not that big of an issue. 200 churches, other churches probably operate with this, so, but. They're already authorized. We already have people in place that can sign if the treasurer's not able to do so.
But you really need to change
that line. That was my thinking, that we could just strike the whole thing originally. I think that would work. I agree. All right. We might be a little divided on that. So how many of you think just strike it the way it is up there? You're in favor of that? Okay. How many would like to see something different up there? All right. Just go back to that. We'll strike it. Next. Okay. The quorum. The original bylaws that we had presented were page 18, Article 9, Meetings, Section 5, Quorum. What we brought to you was a quorum shall consist of all members present at any duly called business meeting. And then Rich suggested that we put a percentage on that, even if it was low. And so I'd asked about how many would want 20%, and by far the majority said 20% would be sufficient to have a meeting. Yes, Glenn. There's about 80 members. Yeah. I would really caution against 50%. Yeah. Right. Here's the only problem with a low one is that if some people are disgruntled, they call a meeting. People who aren't even aware there's a problem don't show up, and then the disgruntled people can make changes. That's the reason for a quorum. But I still caution against a high number. We have over 50% here because this is a big deal. But in an annual meeting, it's not always such a big deal. I know churches that cannot meet because they don't get their quorum. They've tried everything. They've tried giving them free dinners. I said, well, why don't you go to a low number or none? They said, we can't get enough people out for one time to change it. So that's kind of a Jeremy. The meeting has to be announced. Yeah, the meeting has to be announced from the pulpit. I don't care what you want to do. I guess we could do what we did at the town hall meeting, start out with 20 and see how many people are in favor of that. If you're in favor of 20%, let's see your hand. Well, that's 30 people, so there's not going to be more than that for any of the others. So we'll just keep it at that, 20%. And is that it for slides then? How could I forget the disaffiliation? Let me read to you the wording. This was drawn up by the district lawyer, and she assures us that this would hold up in a court of law. So, in the event the Assemblies of God shall be divided over doctrine or moral issues, or the statement of fundamental truths, the Assembly may disaffiliate from the Assemblies of God, and all property of the Assembly shall remain with those members, whatever their number, desiring continued adherence to the statement of fundamental truths as found in Article 4, Tenets of Faith, and of this document as adopted on April 22nd, 2018. So that's just saying that if the Assemblies of God were to go cuckoo, start ordaining homosexuals like some of the Lutheran churches and things like that, that we could disaffiliate from them without losing our property. Any questions on that? No. No, that's actually covered in the paragraph before that. So that if you get a pastor in here someday who convinces the church that the Assemblies of God are no longer to be trusted or whatever, he has his own doctrine and he wants to pull out, that the church would remain with whatever members wanted to stay Assembly of God. Even if there's only one, it would stay Assembly of God. And so there's a protection against a bad pastor. There's the protection against a bad denomination. I think it's a win-win either way, as far as I see. I can't. No, it stays with the members. Yes. Yes, Sharon. Okay. All right. Just one other thing, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm pulling a fast one or pulling your wool over anybody's eyes or anything like that. But you understand that on the divorce and remarriage for a deacon, in this particular document, we do make allowances for those who have been divorced and remarried to serve as a deacon. It's been in the Assemblies of God bylaws for a long time, probably 30 years at least. We just haven't changed that. And part of that is because we never had an issue to go back and look at the bylaws and quite honestly, as we explained at the town hall meeting, we do not have a set of bylaws that we could definitely call our own, that we are positive that these are ours. So I don't want to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I want you to know that's in there. Not that my stance really matters. It's your decision, but I kind of have gone the other way on this. Because when it says that the deacon should be the husband of one wife, there's three main views. There's the view that means polygamy. You can't have more than one wife at one time. A second view is that it means that nobody who has ever been divorced and remarried could serve on a board. And the third view is that the husband of one wife really means a one-woman man in the sense that he is faithful to his wife, which is the majority position among churches today. It is the position that I hold now after understanding that wording more. And it makes more sense with Jesus's exception clause, where he talks about the reason an exception for being divorced is adultery, not being a one man, a woman. So this opens it up for those whose spouses have been immoral. It opens it up for those whose spouses have abandoned them, and it opens it up for those who, prior to conversion, had a divorce and remarried. That is now the Assemblies of God position. God is not so concerned with our past. He is concerned with our present. And as I looked at that passage, it's always has to do with how that person is now. If you look at it, it would be inconsistent to go back and look at somebody's past life. Paul is talking about those whose rules or houses, and all of these things are blameless. They're the condition now. So that's kind of where I'm at. Some hold the view that it can't be divorced and remarried for any issue. Well, then you're going to go down and say that applies to all churches throughout history, and not just that it was for that particular church for some reason. So that's a legitimate question, I think. For example, as I said this morning in the message, The church at Jerusalem could not eat meat sacrificed to idols. The church at Corinth could. And when Paul mentions the husband of one wife, he never mentions this in any other book. And he mentions into Titus as well, but they are both the church at Ephesus. So could it be that there was something there in the church that Paul wrote that? Or then you're going to have to think that it was for all churches at all time. And then my question would be, why doesn't Acts mention it when they're choosing deacons there? There's no mention of a husband of one wife there. So you don't have a complete list all the time. And let me say this, life can be messy. Honestly, life can be messy. And if we as a church are getting people saved, then we're going to get a lot of messy situations in the church. We're going to be getting a lot of divorced and remarried people. And if they feel that they are called to serve in that capacity, then we're quenching their desire. So that's where I'm coming through. I was actually thinking about preaching on this, and I was back and forth, and I decided not to do it. But I wanted you to know the Assemblies of God position on it, and I want you to know that I'm not opposed to the Assemblies of God position on it. And because I talked, I will open it up to anybody else who would like to take an opposing view to me on this, because I brought it up. And I'm not speaking as the chair, I'm speaking as your pastor and how I feel about this today. Anyone? Danny? Okay. Because if we... Well, we are trying our best to go by Scripture. And what I... Well, they wouldn't be chosen. What we're doing is we're clarifying the husband of one wife. We all know what a drunkard is. So what we're doing is we're trying to clarify that. And I would go so far as to say this, because I know that there are some people that might look at me and say, Pastor, you're becoming soft. My response to that is, it's actually becoming harder. Because you are picking out people presently who are faithful to their wife. This means that they are not involved in any kind of immorality. And so I think it's tougher than somebody who made a mistake years ago, and because of that, they can't serve on the board. So I'm saying, yeah, there are requirements. I wouldn't choose a drunkard to serve on the board. Now, if somebody got drunk one time or something like that, that's different. But somebody who's consistently living a bad testimony, I don't think they would get elected. So I'm trying to clarify the divorce and remarriage part. It does. So that's my point, is that what is the person presently like? Those are the people we're choosing to be deacons. What is their lifestyle like now? We're not picking on them at all. The only reason is because we're trying to bring clarification here. Yes. Well, you know how lawyers word things. It's not always worded the way you think it might be. Yes, James. Yes, Dave. Jeremy? Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. Correct. Or if it happened prior to conversion. This particular wording is taken right out of the general counsel bylaws. So, I don't know. Yeah. Yes. Just let me say this. If there's a lot of questions, then I suggest that we just cancel this meeting and have another town hall meeting, because the purpose of today was to vote. The purpose for the town hall meeting was to bring up all the questions, and the purpose for today was to vote. So if there's a lot more discussion, then let's just stop this meeting. We'll have another town hall meeting. We won't have the annual meeting May 6th. So I got to know how much more discussion is there. All right, Glenn's got something. Everybody got stuff to bring up. All right, Glenn, then we should be done. We don't, and we well, I would take exception to that wording. Personally, I think your tithe goes to the local church. The point is, no, we don't keep track. I don't know how much anybody here gives. I never look. But that's between them and God. And I give them the list of these requirements before they accept the role as a deacon, so they know. It's for their purpose, whether they know whether they will hold it or not. So, no more questions, right? All right. So we have a motion. We're going to have a motion here. So we've called a call to vote. Okay, we got to have the motion first here from Jeremy, though. He's going to read it. And then... All right. All in favor of voting? You're all in favor of that? Okay. Aye. All right. Yes or no? Yes or no? It's simple as that. Josh. Oh, yeah. Let's have a motion to close the roster. And how many? Okay, we need 32 for election, for to pass. And... Pastor Kelly made the motion to close the roster. Second. Don, all in favor? Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right, it's carried.
All right, if I can have your attention just one last time. New bylaws did pass.